again, take you back to the divisional series in 2022. Morton serving up a three-run home run to Brandon Marsh. The 1-0. And a swing and a high fly ball left center field up the alley. Harris going back to the track, looking up. It's gone! And he's done it again! Brandon Marsh with a three-run home run to the opposite field. And it's a ball game again as the Phillies are down a run. It's 4-3.
A little foreshadowing last night by our guy Scott Fransky, and a comeback victory by the Phillies. Scott set to join us out. He's sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, how you doing today?
You got to have a feel, right?
and you know what, Scott? To be honest, like, I can say this, and I apologize, Scott. I can apologize, Scott, because he has never once been unwavering on his baseball team. So, Scott, if I ever thought that you were, I'm just apologizing because they're trying to get me to apologize to Castellanos, but I'm not going to do it. But
Scott,
I apologize.
A couple
to you.
Days ago, I apologized to Nick Castellanos. I was too hard on him, and now he's coming around. Hugh refuses to apologize. Can you
believe
this?
I'm not apologizing for him for doing his job, Scott. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you were hard on him.
He's doing
him,
his job. No, I wasn't hard on him. You were.
Were you hard on him?
I was not.
Well, it's guilt by association more than anything else.
Okay. I thought I remember you were touting to stay with Castellanos early on.
What I'm saying. I wasn't hard on him, but now everybody wants me to apologize to him for doing his job. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it.
Hey, man, have your convictions. Stand your ground.
He does have that. And, Scott, he hasn't just done his job lately. He's been really good. I mean, you pointed out, and we've talked about this, you know, recently, his numbers since that series against the Padres starting in mid-June. It just feels like it's building, though. This is – you know, we could go back to maybe last year and pick out the beginning of the season, his June. But this feels like the best extended stretch we've seen of Castellanos in a Phillies uniform.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about almost 65 games, I think, from that point. He's hitting 300. What's to argue about, you know? When you look at it and you say, well, he's hitting 250. And yes, he got off to a miserable start. And he did it while the team was playing really, really well. And this is how good teams operate. Not everybody hits well all season long. And so they're fortunate that Castellanos is hot and contributing in a big way while some other guys aren't. I mean, they need to get the top three guys in the order going. There's no doubt about it. And you got to think with their track records that they will. I tend to believe that they will. And it's a matter of time, and every hitter to some extent can be a little streaky. It's like I said, it's really hard to be good from game one to through game 162 and not have a lull in there somewhere. So some guys are up, some guys are down, but you hope that at the end of the day, you've got more guys that are up than down, and it means you win way more than you lose.
So, Scott, when I see Castellanos and he's at the plate, not saying that he's been playing bad, but it looks right now like he's playing with a lot more confidence. Do you see the same thing?
I don't know that it's more or less, honestly. He seems kind of like the same guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, there are times when he doesn't chase as much. And, Rob's talked about how, really over the course of the season, he's kind of I know he likes to say he doesn't have an approach. You know, it's like glorified batting practice, and he sees the ball and tries to hit it hard. And mm-hmm. to some extent, I think that's probably true. And if that's what's in his mind and what works for him, then great. But I mean, they've talked about how he spreads out now with two strikes a little bit, and if he doesn't chase as much, then he's in a better place and the numbers look better. But he can also be a streaky guy, and next week could be a different story for him, and it's kind of the nature of baseball. But I do think he thinks about it deeply. I think Castellanos works at it really hard, and I think that maybe the I just see the ball and hit it hard is an oversimplification, but it's kind of a quote more than anything. I think there's more going on than just see ball, hit ball.
Scott, the other big one last night, and we played Jim with it, was the Brandon Marsh home run, which got them back in the game. Brandon's come around the last couple weeks, and last night was, I think he was aided a little bit by the decision there by Brian Snicker to leave Charlie Morton. And how surprising was that to you? They had Bummer, the lefty, warming up. We know how, you know, challenging lefties have been on Marsh this year. I felt like Snicker helped the Phillies out last night.
Well, maybe. I mean, you can certainly cut it both ways. I mean, I understand Brian Snicker's argument, and that was, you know, he's handled them pretty well the first two at-bats of the game and, you know, struck him out both times. And like he said, Snitker said I liked his curveball on there. I was surprised Rob Thompson said after the game that they wouldn't have been hitting for him. I understand there were, you know, one guy short on the bench at that point in the game. So that's, you know, that was factoring in, into his decision-making. And then you get later in the game, and it's mostly right-handed pitchers you're going to see, whether it was Johnson or Jimenez or even Iglesias at the end, if he was going to be available, I don't know. But maybe they got helped out a little bit by it, but I'd certainly a better matchup for Brandon, just to face a righty. The numbers make that pretty obvious. But I can understand Snitker's point, that he had handled him the first two times and he was willing to give him another shot. The other part of it is, I mean, the sooner you bring Bummer into the game, the more committed you are to having him face more hitters because you're trying to get him all the way through Harper, right? And so if you bring him in there, then you've got to have him face six hitters. And maybe they're not comfortable quite doing that. And especially, you know, if it's a 4-0 lead as opposed to, you know, a 1-run lead, right? And then he's got to go to him for Schwarber and he's got to go to him for Harper. So I can understand both sides of the argument.
Scott, the other big thing yesterday, of course, was the Phillies deciding Taijuan Walker is now going to the bullpen. They gave him a lot of chances. They gave him the extra chance this week against the Astros. It's just, for whatever reason, it's not working right now. Scott, what did you make of the decision, and what's your thought on who is going to take his spot? I guess Tyler Phillips and Colby Allard would be the top two options when they're eligible to come back up here?
Yeah, well, Phillips will be eligible. The first time they're going to need it is Tuesday in Toronto, so he would be eligible. And my money would be on him for now. Allard can't come back until I think it's the 10th of September. So that means whoever it is, whether it was Phillips or somebody else, it would probably be a couple of starts. And then you've got an off day there after, I guess, the Tampa series that you could probably slot, you know, Allard in if that's the way you wanted to go. Or if Phillips happens to be the guy and he's pitching well, then he could probably stay right in there. So, as far as Ty goes, I mean, it was a move they pretty much had to make. The guy's worked really hard. He's tried a lot of different things. And I give him credit because, you know, for a lot of his career, he could just kind of wake up in the morning and throw at 97. And, you know, everybody gets older and everybody's abilities change. And a lot of them degrade over time. And he's trying to learn how to pitch with less. And you know, it's just not working right now. So I think it makes sense. You know, I know a lot of people were, you know, talking about, well, are they just going to release him? What do you do with him? Can he be effective out of the bullpen? We don't know. I don't know if he can. They feel like if he got into the offseason and really stayed with the weighted ball program and with the velocity program, that he could regain some of that velocity. But that's more of an offseason project. So I think you put him in the bullpen for now. You see if there's a usable sort of role for him and get to the offseason and see if he can build it back up again.
Scott Fransky joining us here on the Midday Show. Scott, you mentioned the whole operation with the pitching here. Other than Taijuan, you look at their last, I would say, 2 weeks, it's been really good. I mean, last night Sanchez was only okay. Olsen got him a couple times. But, you know, you take out these Taijuan starts, I would say probably since that second game of the Marlins series, they've pitched really well across the turns between Sanchez and Wheeler and Nolan, even Suarez, his first time back last week. It feels like, Scott, we're getting the kind of starting pitching for the most part that was here early in the season.
Yeah, and I think, just like we were talking about with the hitters, guys are up and down. They had the injury to Suarez, took him out for a while. I actually thought Sanchez was really good last night. I mean, there were, you know, like three mistakes by him, I thought, that were pretty noticeable. Obviously, the home runs by Olsen, the double for Arcia. But, you know, it's hard to fault him for that. You know, he just blew up Harris's bat, and he got a single out of it. So he was on with two outs and set up an opportunity for Arcia. You know, the first home run by Olsen shouldn't have happened. Should have been inning over, but an error by Turner kept that, you know, gave him that situation. So I thought there was a mistake there, and then of course the next time got him as well. But I thought overall his stuff was really good. And you're right, the starting pitching has been good, and that's how teams are going to run deep into the playoffs. Because their starting pitching is really good. They're going to need, you know, to me, the biggest issue still remains the top three guys in the order. They have to get it going. And they're paid a lot of money to be big bats. And they're, you know, struggling in their own different ways right now. And like I said, I got a lot of faith that they'll figure it out because they got really good track records. And you hope that, you know, if some of these other guys at the bottom of the order, if they tail off, then the guys at the top start to take over again. And, again, that's the balance of a good team.
Scott, long-term question. Really, this is more for October than any time in a regular season. We've gotten used to now when the game, the Phillies are leading ninth inning or eighth inning, we see Johan Rojas in center field. Even if he didn't start the game, he comes in. Scott, I have to ask. I mean, it's 15 errors for Trey Turner now. He could have had another one last night if Bryce didn't save him with the catch and the tag. Scott, do you think there's a chance... ninth inning, playoff game, they're up by a run, that they put Edmundo Sosa at shortstop and take Trey off the field?
I don't. I just don't. I mean, unless he were I just don't see it, especially in a one-run game. First of all, Rob is really cognizant of how that looks in the room and how that plays in the room. And I just don't think he would make that move. I don't see that happening. If they were, you know, the other part of it is in a one-run game, you know, one home, you know, home run ties the game, and then all of a sudden you don't have Trey's back.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's a different calculus. I'm not dogging, you know, anybody else, but, you know, if you're removing Austin Hayes for defense, that I can kind of understand because it's a huge upgrade defensively and not an enormous downgrade offensively if the opposition happened to tie the game. So, but no, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, a lot of ramifications there. Certainly, I've thought about it a lot here. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on as always. We'll be listening this week, and it's a big one. Phillies could try to really put the hammer down on Atlanta next 3 days. Thank you, Scott.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he goes.
Have
Scott Fransky as the Phillies continue their series against the Atlanta Braves. Hugh, I've brought this up before. I'm going to bring it up again before we get to October. It's on my mind. Like, Rojas comes in the game for defense. We're all good with it, right? Because he's an outstanding defensive player, and they're better with him on the field defensively. I understand what Scott said there. I think you have said very similar things, that if they did it to Trey, it's a bigger deal, right? Trey Turner is a $300 million player.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, if I was the manager, and it's the ninth inning of a playoff game, and we're up a run or two, I want Sosa's glove on the field, not Trey Turner's.
Yeah, but you heard what he said. You heard what Scott said about the optics of the whole situation. And that's the thing, man. You don't want to lose these guys, and you're going to need these guys later on. So that's basically what it is. You got to believe in them, man. And plus, like...
do you? Or do you got to do what's best for the team?
I think that is best for the team, having them out there. Now, I know it might sound crazy, but you can't be knee-jerky in situations like this. Because just like Castellanos, you know, we talk about how well he's been hitting the last couple of months. They left him out there.
So I'll push back. I think hitting could be more comes and goes. Bad defensive players don't get good.
Yeah.
They don't get good. Now, they may screw up less. But, like, Trey Turner's never going to be as good at shortstop anymore in his career as Edmundo Sosa is. It's just never going
to
happen.
Yeah. But I don't think this is the year to do that.
If there's any year to do it, it's this one. I also don't agree that it would be knee-jerky at all. I mean, if we get to October...
he has 38 errors in a Phillies uniform.
It'd be 2 years worth of Trey Turner being a disaster in the field. And it's like with the Sixers, like, that's we let the... It's not.
38 errors.
He's awful. He makes so many errors, Hugh. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of what killed the Sixers when they played your Atlanta Hawks in that one playoff series. And Ben Simmons...
by association.
But Ben Simmons had to be taken off the floor in the last 2 minutes... because what they did was just foul him all the time because they knew that he was bad at hitting free throws, and it took Doc Rivers forever to actually adjust and do it, and it hurt them. Like,
right.
Can't let that sink a series in the postseason.
Right. Now, that was a little bit more where they could the other team could get Ben to the free throw line, right? You foul him. Now, you can't purposely hit the ball to shortstop every time. But you know what I'm going to be doing in October? I'm going to be crossing my fingers every moment the ball does not get hit to Trey in a big spot. Like, that's where I'll be. I think it is a reasonable thing for Topper to do. I don't know if he's going to do it. In fact, I would guess he's not, but I'm sure we'll talk more about this as we get closer to October. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phones. A lot to discuss here between the Phillies. Have they earned your trust back after, you know, a bad month or month and a half or 2 months? It's been good for the past 2 weeks. Have they earned your trust back here? And, of course, the Eagles. Did Jalen Hurts' comments yesterday bother you about the blitz and pickup and protection and the Kelce angle to this and his eagerness to learn? Where are you at on that? Plus, we're looking for a food from another state today for Tri-Day Friday. Pair of tickets to the Eagles' official season kickoff watch party presented by Bud Light on the line today. Mike at Conshohocken owes Kyle an apology. This is rare. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I don't like to apologize too much, but the other day I called and, you know, said, give Walker another shot, and I didn't even get on air, and Kyle ripped into me like you wouldn't believe before I got on air. And so I'm going to apologize to Kyle because he was right. I shouldn't have given him another shot. That guy just stinks. That's the way it is.
You know what? See how easy it is? Mike apologized. I apologized to Castellanos. You know, Kyle apologized to Castellanos. Hugh, it's not that hard. An apology.
Yeah, he was a different person, though, man. He sticks by his gun. You know
no, I'm just saying. Apologize for doing his job. Like, that's his job.
You apologize for facilitating people ripping him.
I didn't rip him, though. You ripped him.
Well, but you're part of this.
Well, I just kind of sat there, and I was complicit.
You were complicit. You were very.
But I did say that. That was kind of strong. I mean, I pushed back a little. Just a little.
Yeah, Mike, I'm very happy you owed Kyle the apology, because I'm so happy he's out of this rotation now.
Apology accepted, buddy.
I'm happy as well, I'll tell you that. But as far as the Phillies are concerned, the Eagles are concerned, the whole Kelce thing, look, people have to understand, a center is like the catcher in baseball. They actually see what's going on, and they kind of set it up for the quarterback or set it up for the pitcher, as the case may be, and then they go from there. So it is kind of important, and he's kind of – I think it's getting blown out of proportion. You know, he relies on what Kelce sees and what Jurgens is going to see, what have you, just like a pitcher relies on what a catcher sees.
That's a good comp, Mike. You know, and most – you know, when it's a really good catcher, the pitcher oftentimes will just trust the catcher, right? Like, I'll just throw whatever you put down for me. But then
there's Steve Carlton and Tim McCarver.
Exactly.
I mean, Tim McCarver didn't catch for anybody but Steve Carlton, because Steve Carlton said, tell me what to do. And that's it.
Yes. Yeah. Now, but sometimes, though, there's veteran pitchers that they kind of call their own game, or they know what they want. And, you know, what a young center this year. It's going to be interesting to see how it works between Jalen and he. All right, Mike, give us a food from another state we should try.
Okay, well, that's easy. I'm going to tell you, we're all going to try it when the Eagles are in the Super Bowl down in New Orleans, and that is a good crawfish etouffee.
Etouffee.
Ooh, Mike, good one. All right, Hugh, we're having crawfish down in Louisiana?
As long as it's not the big chunky pieces. If you cut it up really, really fine, then
I'm not cooking. We're
no, I eat it. I eat that. I eat some etouffee.
I mean, look, if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl in Louisiana, and we're there, we're eating crawfish,
like,
guys.
But it's like, it all depends, man, because the food is really rich. Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Well, what do you expect? It's Louisiana.
That's the best kind of food, man.
Trying to keep this weight off, man. You can't be eating that.
Forget
rich
about
food.
It. Going to New Orleans.
No, I'm telling you,
that's like cheat week.
No, I can't. Cheat week?
Yeah.
Cheat day?
In Louisiana,
yeah,
one day counts as a week.
I'm in the middle of a cheat life.
Yeah, you could do that, Kyle. You weigh like, what, 150 pounds?
And I still eat whatever I want.
Yeah, it must be nice. Must be nice. Well, it doesn't work like that for the world.
Maybe if the Eagles get off to a good start, you go on an extra diet. That way you drop a little bit before we get to Louisiana.
Be looking real skinny down in Louisiana so I can eat good. Yeah, that'll work.
That's exactly right. All right, let's talk to Terry, who's up next. What's up, Terry?
Not much. What's going on?
How you doing, buddy? What are you thinking?
The Phillies, that's what's up. They're looking better than yesterday's win.
And it was a huge win. I mean, that game, just think about the atmosphere here today in Philadelphia, Terry. If they lose that game and this lead gets cut from 5-4, we're nervous about tonight. Instead, it pushed it back up to 6.
I think we have a different subject we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
I mean, Brandon Marsh just came in at the right time at the right moment. I mean, and this guy's been cold all this season, except for the beginning of the season. He looked really good for a while.
And he needed that. I mean, he has been better, I would say, for the past 2 weeks, but that was a big spot for him, Terry. They, you know, he's had some home runs, but that was the biggest hit
he
of his
that
season.
Night.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, and I'm a big Brandon Marsh fan. I always liked him. You know, I think he just needed some time to get himself back together.
He did, and look, they believed in him. They traded from a couple years ago to be an everyday player, and he hasn't shown them enough to lock that down. But
he
could change the
guys,
he,
lucky,
Yeah, he could change it the next couple years, for sure. If he plays the next couple months, I should say, if he plays well, you know, we're going to have a better view of him moving forward than because right now it's like, you know, his future's up in the air as an everyday player.
Yeah, you know, you want to keep these guys healthy going into that red October. You know, we want to keep most of these guys healthy, but just so we can get this top of the line going stronger, you know, Bryce, Turner, and all them getting going. You know, they just got the spurts where they just kind of fall off a little bit and they get cold.
Yeah, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, now, Turner worries me because he's very streaky.
Well, just phrase that Taiwan's not there anymore, and we can just keep him at bullpen.
Keep him on. Someone said lock the bullpen. You keep him in there.
That game got so uncomfortable just watching it. I mean, I had to walk away from the TV for a little bit just because it got so bad.
Oh, 2 days ago, you mean? The Astros game?
Yeah, just during that game. Just watching him, like, going in. We went in high expectation thinking he's going to maybe do something, help us out. No, it went to the opposite direction.
Oh, he's brutal. I mean, he's totally brutal. All right, Terry, give us a food from another state we should try.
How about a po' boy sandwich?
Yeah, we just...
Po' boy.
No, that's different than the... The lobster roll.
Yeah, it's different.
Yes, that's one of them.
Yeah, that's your shrimpy one. That's Louisiana. Yeah.
Yeah.
Po' boy.
Terry, good stuff there. Well, look, this is what I mean by rich food. We got a lot of options down in Louisiana, Hugh. We got Louisiana gumbo, crawfish, and po' boy. We're eating well that week when the Eagles go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we get there.
Beignets.
We got to start out with the beignets.
Yeah, I think the bigger question is, can the Eagles get there? The food will be good.
I think they will. I'm holding out hope. Even though we got all this tumultuous stuff going on, these little innuendos and all this other stuff, I believe we can get there.
You mean eagerness to learn was halted? Those kind of
things? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Can we hear it again? I want to hear Jalen Hurts.
No, we have to play it again.
I need to hear it again. Jalen Hurts, yesterday morning show, talking about, really was just asked about Cam Jurgens, but here's his response to how Cam's coming along this summer, and he goes into what happened really with his eagerness to learn how to set protections in the past.
What you may have seen from years past is just different autonomy in different places. You know, we had a great player, Jason Kelce, who took on a lot of responsibility, and as a result of that, I was told not to worry about a lot of things. And so my eagerness to learn and all of that over the years, you know, kind of was halted because of who we had. But now times are different, and I'm excited for that journey for this football team.
My eagerness to learn was halted by who we had. Every time I hear it, I just get more like shake my head, like, what?
Well, it was uncalled for. It was like, because you praise him on one hand, and then basically said he held you back. Like, that's the more I hear
his presence held me back.
Yeah,
that's a fair interpretation.
I mean, and you know what? Listen, there's a thing called deference. That, you know, that you pay to your elders, to people that are, you know, in a different position than you're in. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you could still learn by just soaking up the knowledge that they have. Now, I'm not sitting there saying that you have to do it the exact same way that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest. You had success doing it. You went to the Super Bowl. So you have to, you got to relent a little bit. Perfect example. I've told this story before, me and Trotter and playing the run. I had a way I wanted to do things, but when it was explained to me how, you know, reluctantly it was hurting the defense, I relented and we became better for it. It's the same thing, man. Sometimes, you know, you got to put your pride or the way that you feel, your personal feelings aside.
Yep.
And do things for the greater good. It's just like, for me, I'm not mad at Jalen. Because I appreciate Jalen being honest and forthcoming with everything. Because this has been a year where, like, we talked about him and being transparent and everything like that. I like the fact that he's being transparent. I don't have a problem with that. But you also have to be willing to grow and adapt to your environment. That's just as important.
I'm not mad at him at all. I am bothered by the quotes yesterday. I'm also resetting expectations. I know you tell me that duck dog don't hunt. I'm resetting expectations. If next Friday is the first time he feels like he has had autonomy to set protections in the NFL, it's his first time. That's going to take some time to hit the right way. 215-592-9494. We'll come back at your phone calls here. NFL players were asked to name the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL. Their answers? As usual when players are asked to vote, it may surprise. We'll react to that next. Plus, your calls. How do you feel about what Jalen Hurts said yesterday? And have the Phillies regained your trust in foods from another state for Tri-Day? Right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
one more. So you said on your podcast that you feel like Kellen is helping Jalen become a smarter player, especially at the line of scrimmage. In what ways are you seeing?
Just letting him take full control of offense. Like you've seen that down the field, you can just see him in the 2 minute making the calls, reading hot checks. I know he's seeing the blitz way better than he ever did, you know, because you know, we got guys that can make plays and explosive because we have great O-line that can kind of pick up anything. But now they trust Hurts to, you know, make plays on his own with his without just using his feet, using his mind, and beating the defense himself. So that's why I see an improvement in Hurts is that the fact that Kellen got him, you know, picking up blitzes real nice.
You know what's interesting about that cut from Darius Slay? Welcome back to the Midday
Show.
What's
that, the positivity?
Well, there was some positivity. That was during camp. But you notice what he said? And I don't know if we picked up on it in the moment, but now after what Jalen said yesterday, he said now they have him picking up blitzes by himself. Like almost alluding to the idea that they didn't have him do that before. This wasn't his responsibility last year. This was somebody else's. Now Jalen Hurts gets to do it, and we get to watch it play out next Friday night. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a minute here. We have this prize to give away. By the way, a second prize today. We have a 4-pack of tickets, the Atlantic City In-Water Boat Show, Golden Nugget Casino and Hotel, September 5th through the 8th. About 20 minutes from now, I'll tell you how you win that prize. So a lot going on here. And Hugh, earlier this week, ESPN wrote this article. They surveyed 103 players, and they asked them about the quarterback rankings right around the NFL, and then they asked them different questions about the current state of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the voting for the most overrated quarterback in the NFL?
Who's the Don't tell me.
So here are the votes.
Well, I mean, you're going to tell me.
Jalen Hurts was voted the second most overrated quarterback in the NFL. Josh Allen was actually voted the most overrated quarterback.
I was curious to hear who thought was the most overrated.
I thought they were about to say Patrick Mahomes. Because, you know, these cats be, you know, some of these players be on some other stuff.
He didn't get a single vote. Let me tell you who the top vote getters were. Allen got the most votes. Hurts and Tua got the second most votes. Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy also got votes here. Hugh, what's your reaction to that? The most overrated quarterback, Jalen Hurts, gets the second most votes.
You know what's funny? Josh Allen, for what he's been in the NFL, I can see that one. I can see that one a little bit more than Hurts. And I also see the Hurts ones because people are talking about the talent that he has around him, and Tua, for that matter. Because Tua was on his way out of the league before they went and got Tyreek Hill. That's a fact. He was on his way out, so much so that they were trying to get Tom Brady down there. Man, listen, it's hard to find. Everybody ain't Tom Brady. Everybody ain't Patrick Mahomes. Those guys are once-in-a-lifetime, generational talents, in my opinion. I had a chance to talk to Scott Pioli a few years ago, and we were basically talking about quarterback play. And I remember him saying something to the effect like, hey, man, Tom Brady's different. You know, I'm ad-libbing because this was a while ago. But he also said to me, you can win a Super Bowl with guys. If you get the right guy, you can still win a Super Bowl. I think a lot of times, especially at that position, the bar is raised so high for dudes that do phenomenal things. Then we take away the fact that, number one, it's hard to play the position, and everybody's not going to be phenomenal at that position. Hell, who was the quarterback for the Chicago Bears the year they went to the Super Bowl?
Rex Grossman.
Rex Grossman went to the Super Bowl. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Hell, Jim McMahon won a Super Bowl. When you look at all of the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, all of them aren't Hall of Fame bona fide ballers like that. They were in great situations. Everybody like Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, guys like that, Aaron Rodgers. When you look at all of those guys, we had a nice run of young quarterbacks back then. It's a tough position to play, especially now since the game has evolved so much. So, I mean, come on, guys. Y'all got to – like, that antiquated way of thinking, man, is what kind of gets me a little bit. You got to be a little bit more progressive in your thinking.
I've actually come around on the Josh Allen thing. I don't think he's underrated. I mean, I don't think he's overrated. Josh Allen's really good.
He's a – you know what it is for me with Josh Allen? Because – initially, I was like, man, he's going to get hurt.
He doesn't,
like the way
though.
That he plays.
He doesn't.
He doesn't, Joe. And his ability to throw, he has a strong arm. He had a little bit of issue with the touch in the past. But his ability to throw the ball and be physical at the same time, he's formidable.
He's a tremendous player. I question these players that are voting on these things. They voted Tyreek Hill, the best player in the NFL a couple weeks ago. It's obviously not Tyreek Hill. It's Patrick Mahomes. And I like Josh Allen. I know we were talking about Jalen, but Josh Allen has averaged in the last 4 years 45 touchdowns per season and nearly 5,000 yards of offense.
Man, he
that guy's overrated?
Nah.
But you know what it is?
You know what it is, too? I think a lot of guys, they get mad at some of the love that people get.
So there's a quote in here about, I think you're right about that, and especially if you have good teammates. This was the quote an NFC East player said about Jalen Hurts. How hard is it to throw jump balls to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith? It's basically taken away how good Jalen has been because he's got good players around him.
I think that's stupid.
Do we think that was Micah Parsons, by the way? It said it was from an NFC East player. It sounds like Micah.
But these players, that's a Micah nowadays, comment. There's a lot of hating going on with a lot of people that hate on other folks. I don't like to use that word, but it's true. Like, you listen to, I take everything that I hear other people say about people with a grain of salt. Especially talking to some of my old teammates, when I hear them speak about certain individuals, I just kind of sit back and listen. Because you know that a lot of times it's rooted in something a little bit more than just what's on the surface. So, you know, you give them grace and you let them say what they're going to say. It's the same thing with NFL players, man, especially nowadays.
You know who I would vote as the most overrated quarterback in the NFL? Trevor Lawrence. I've been told Deshaun Watson. Yeah, that's a good vote. He stinks lately.
He got, but if I'm other quarterbacks, I bit creepy. And on some level, I give him props because he kind of got this whole thing started for quarterbacks getting the kind of money that they got.
So he got them all overpaid?
Yes, he got them all overpaid. So y'all owe Big Creepy a favor, even though he creepy to the mug.
Watson stinks lately. And Trevor Lawrence, everyone tells me he's great. He's not great. His numbers look like Daniel Jones's numbers. Kyle, what do you make of the voting there? Allen, Hurts, the most overrated quarterbacks.
I think, so where the Hurts one, I think, comes from is, I think players might have a perception of how Hurts is viewed by fans that might be a little bit different from how he actually is viewed. Like, I don't know. We all think consensus of Jalen Hurts is he might be top 10. I think some players have the idea that he might be like top 3 in people's minds.
And he's not really
And he's
that.
Not. The Josh Allen one, I think I understand just because he's viewed as like, maybe like 2A, 2B along with Burrow.
But isn't he?
I mean, maybe not. Like, he turns the ball over a ton.
He does.
And he doesn't really win deep in the postseason.
Well, that's because of Mahomes.
Sure. Yeah. But, like, I mean, Joe Burrow's beaten Patrick Mahomes.
But Joe Burrow can't stay healthy.
Yeah, but he also doesn't turn the ball over as much as Josh Allen. I don't know. Like, I'm going off of where I think their mind is on Josh Allen.
Yeah, like, these NFL players, I think this is the problem. Those guys, do football players know anything about football? I'm not sure anymore.
No, they don't.
I'm not sure.
It's different because there's a lot of, everybody wants to be that guy that's talked about on SportsCenter.
A little jealousy involved?
I would say so.
That could be.
They did get one right, though.
What did they get right?
One of the guys' most overrated quarterback in football is Brock Purdy.
Oh, there it is.
It's not even close.
And what do all of those guys have in common?
At least he actually produces.
Those guys that they say are overrated were playoff contenders a year ago. Like, think about that. They were all in the playoffs. Like, Brock,
Allen,
Josh,
Jalen, Tua.
Yeah. They're all playing. Like, everybody can't be Tom Brady, man.
Or Mahomes.
Everybody can't be that.
Yeah. When one guy wins all the championships, anyone else you think is really good, almost by accident, you have to say some people will call them overrated because they don't win.
And the bar, like I said again, the bar for quarterbacks is so high, even in fans' eyes. If you're like Tom Brady and those guys have set the bar so high, if you're not considered a Hall of Fame quarterback, you're a bum.
Well, that's
bottom line.
That's the Josh Allen thing.
Yeah.
If not for Mahomes, Josh Allen has made a Super Bowl already, I would think. And he hasn't because Mahomes keeps knocking him out. 2-1.
No, I'm just saying there's some good quarterbacks. Some quarterbacks out there have some pretty damn good careers. But, yeah, if you're not that guy, you're a bum.
I'm kind of surprised Lamar didn't get any votes. Lamar's obviously good. He's won 2 MVPs, but he's been terrible in the playoffs.
Yeah, because Lamar probably, people have a little bit more respect for Lamar. Lamar probably skews a little bit more like one of the guys. Like, when I think about quarterbacks, For the most part, and I think most players think like this, Joe, they're real standoffish. They're individuals. Lamar skews to me like he's one of the guys, more so. Like, Lamar skews to me like I thought Jalen was when I first got here. you know, working out with the guys and stuff. Now, I don't know Lamar, but on the outside looking in, he skews to me like he's more like that.
If you could if you didn't have a quarterback and you could have Lamar or Josh Allen, who would you take?
Between the two?
I would take Allen.
I'm taking Lamar.
I think Allen's played better in
the playoffs.
I'd probably
take Allen too, yeah.
You know why I'm taking Lamar? It's because, and this is, I'm going to tell you right now, this is personal. Because when I read this story, I was just like, why the hell they doing that for him? His linemen, instead of him buying them gifts, they bought him a gift.
The Josh Allen?
They bought him an ATV.
You know why?
Why?
Because he doesn't take sacks, so he makes them look better.
I don't care. He make way more money than I do. You need to be buying me gifts.
Always comes back to money.
Yeah, for me, yes. I said it was personal. I didn't lie.
I like that idea.
I didn't lie.
215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Art is up on WIP. Hey, Art.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on,
What's
man?
Up, Art?
Hey, I want to send a message to the Eagles, first of all. I was born in Brazil. They have nothing to worry about. In Sao Paulo, it's not like Rio. Rio is really where the crime is and all that stuff. So send a message to them. Nothing to worry about in Sao Paulo.
All right, well,
when's the last time you've been in Brazil, Art?
I was born in Sao Paulo myself. Actually.
Okay, so when was the last time you've been there?
About 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been changed, dog. It's a little different now.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little different. The way I haven't been there myself personally, but from all the stories I read and all the warnings and stuff that they're telling people to do, it is a little different now.
So you think we're overdoing this, Art? It's not as worrisome?
Yeah. So Rio has the favelas. It's called favelas, like the hood up in the mountains, and all the ghetto people live up there. And they come down, and they actually go to the beaches and steal people. Like they stole my towel on the beach in Rio. So, I mean, you're talking crazy stuff.
They stole your towel, dog.
Yeah, I don't think they're worried about towels. But, yeah, if towel's the worst, then they get stolen next week.
Hold on, dog. They stole your towel. You was okay with that?
It's just a towel. I mean, you get another towel.
I don't care if it was a comb. Don't steal nothing from me.
No, I'm not saying it's all right. I'm just saying on the scale of things being stolen, a towel, like, you can get through that.
Isn't that crazy? But that's what they do. But anyway, I was calling about the Phillies. I'm back on the wagon, man. Now that Alvarado and Walker are gone, I'm back on the wagon. And I actually have some advice for Schwarber, if I can give some advice to him, if he's listening.
Go ahead.
Please, do not take the first pitch. Every single bat, he 99% of the time takes the first pitch, and usually he's right down the pipe. So if you can, you know, take a look at it and hit it. Because he only gets three strikes.
Art, I wouldn't mind if he ambushed the first pitch every now and again. If he, you know, if they're especially just laying a cookie over there.
He does it a lot.
But I think I like his approach. And Art, we appreciate the phone call. I understand Art's point. If they're just throwing it over the middle and you could slam one for a home run, go for it. But he likes to take pitches. He works deep counts. It's why he walks so much, right? It's why he's always on base, because he rarely does swing at the first pitch. I get what he's saying, but Schwarber has a system that has worked for him. It's why he's always walks 100 times a year. He doesn't swing at the first pitch very often.
Yeah, man. And Schwarber, a lot of times when he does ambush that first pitch, it gets the party started early.
It does. And once in a while, if you know they're throwing a cookie over and you just crush it, that is fun. But I his approach is not going to change that much. Ken and Cinnaminson wants to weigh in on the Brazil stuff. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up, Ken?
Hey, Ken.
Before I get to Jalen, which I want to do, I used to have to go to Sao Paulo for business, you know, a few times a year. And people who think they're going down there to a tropical paradise to watch the Eagles game are sadly mistaken, and they just need to be careful. I mean, I understand what Art's saying, but, you know, Art might be a little biased. He was born there. You know, I had to write executive protection plans for our C-suite people that were relocating there at the time. Sao Paulo was statistically the murder capital of the world. It's not the murder capital of the world anymore, but for all the Eagles fans that are going down there in particular, I don't care about Packers fans. But if you're walking around with your phone in your hand, you might as well just hang a sign around your neck that says, rob me. And, you know.
It sounds like the players have gotten this message too, Ken.
Wait a minute. Ken, I'm curious. Why is it with the phone? Because they feel you got money?
Well, yeah, there's a thing down there. I don't want to get too deep into this because I do want to get to Jalen, but mm-hmm. there's a phenomenon down in that part of the world in general called express kidnapping, where, you know, these guys just kind of roam around, and if they identify you as somebody who they think might have some access to money, they will stuff you in a car and they will drive you around to ATM machines until the ATM machine will no longer give you cash, and then they will just dump you wherever you are, and you're on your own. So it's not a tropical paradise. So,
it does not sound like one. Yeah. All right, Ken. What are you thinking on Jalen? What would you make of those comments yesterday?
I can't even express how much I hate it. And look, he's had everybody fooled around here. This is obvious. This whole persona of, you know, Jalen the character guy, Jalen the leader. It is obvious from the body of work from Jalen Hurts' own mouth that what Jalen Hurts is the excuse guy. And the next time Jalen Hurts takes accountability for anything will be the first time Jalen Hurts takes accountability for anything. And I will say this. I'm sure the Eagles, just like we heard, you know, kind of through the grapevine, that after the Nick comments earlier in the spring, that they had a kind of a conversation with, hey, we didn't like the way that came across. That's not the first time they've had to do that. I'm sure they're going to have another conversation about this with them, like, hey, you got to realize how this comes across. He goes out and turns the football over again 20 times this year, and he's the 21st ranked passer in the NFL. They're going to start to ask themselves whether or not keeping that guy around is worth having to have these conversations with him all the time about how this stuff is perceived. And he is not the character guy that everybody thinks he is. He all I hear from him is excuses, and I hate it.
Ken, when you say all that, what I think about is when Aaron Rodgers was a four-time MVP and a great player, the fact that he was very prickly and didn't take accountability and it was everyone else's fault, they dealt with it in Green Bay. But the minute he dropped off, which was about 3 years ago, they got him right out of there, Ken. I think what you're saying is right. If he doesn't play to a top 10 level, then this other stuff is a headache.
And, you know, I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, which is where my food selection is going to come from, by the way. But I can tell you that Packers fans could not wait to get rid of Aaron Rodgers by the end for exactly that reason.
All right, Ken, Wisconsin, you got my interest peaked here. What's the food?
So I know people around here think they've had brats before, bratwurst. But if you've not had an actual handmade brat from Wisconsin, there's all kinds of different brats. I have a couple of frozen cheesesteak brats in my refrigerator. You boil them in beer until they're nice and until they're gray, basically. Then you throw them on the grill and grill them up to get them nice and crisp. And you put that on a hard roll with some mustard, maybe a little bit of sauerkraut. Man, that is nothing like it.
A real deal, authentic brat. Good one, Ken. Have you ever bratwurst, too? Wisconsin brat?
Mm-mm.
I've had bratwurst, but I'm not.
Handmade brats, yeah.
Yeah, not a Wisconsin,
tasty.
Like, yeah. Authentic one.
Yeah, that sounds pretty tasty.
That's a good one. All right, let's grab Barbara, Egg Harbor there. What's up, Barbara?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Barbara. Hey, Barbara. How are you doing today?
I'm thinking of your waistline, Hugh.
Thank you.
When I have my good food.
Well, thank you.
Because everybody's keeping you all this stuff that's going to just...
I blow up, hey, Barbara, I blow up like a tick. Yeah, I can't have that.
We can't have Hugh like a tick during football season.
No, we want him nice and svelte like he wants to be. So I want you to try prickly pear cactus jelly.
Prickly pear cactus jelly. All right. Now, is this like what kind of taste we get here? Is this sweet? Is this a little bitter? What's the taste like?
It could be a little Asian. It's mainly out in Arizona, New Mexico. It's so good. And it is from the prickly pear cactus.
Yeah, I'm seeing the prickly pear. Yeah. I'm looking at the cactus.
Now, is this the kind of thing you put on food, or is this like a substitution for like a gel, like a jelly you'd put on like a peanut butter? And like, how do you use this?
It can be both. It can be a jelly on a sandwich. You can use it as a marinade on pork or chicken. Ooh. It is really tasty, and it's just different.
It's my favorite
really
name of any food we've gotten so far.
They got it at Bucky's.
Oh, they have it at Bucky's.
They got it at Bucky's, but Bucky's is so far away.
No big deal.
Wait a minute. You're going through Virginia, Kyle.
Kyle, pick up Houston
you
prickly
might,
pear
you
cactus.
You might stop by Bucky's. I got to figure out what Bucky's.
And you know what? There's Amazon. You can get it from Amazon.
Oh, it's on Amazon? All right, Barbara, I like that one.
I'm not stopping it.
I kind of want Kyle to go to Bucky's now.
I think I might order this on Amazon right now. All right, Barbara, what are your feelings on the Phillies here? You trust them again?
You know what? I'm getting there again. I'm getting there. I just still worry about our main guys. You know, they're just not doing what they should be doing. And I'm thrilled that the bottom of the line is doing well, but I don't know. I want Schwarber and Harper and Turner to do better, you know?
And they're going to need them in October, Barbara. There's no question. If they're going to go where they need to go in October, they need those guys. Barbara, that's a good call, and we wrote your name down here. This is a good answer. Barbara, we appreciate it. I might order this right now. So prickly pear cactus jelly on Amazon?
I'm going to see if I can find a Bucky's close to where Kyle's going. I think Kyle needs to experience Bucky's.
So do you not? You just want Kyle to pick up the stuff for you this weekend?
I'm just saying, I just want him to go to Bucky's. I just want him to go.
Yeah, but he could go to Bucky's and not pick up the prickly pear cactus jelly.
Yeah, he could do that when he's there. Could be a mean Kyle.
He was trying to send you on an adventure.
I'm not being mean. I'm being lazy.
We're being lazy.
This guy
Kyle.
Has a weekend plan. He can't be just jumping off the route to go to Bucky's for you.
No, I don't think one close. I don't think it's one close enough to him.
All right, well, I got Amazon pulled up here. I might grab this. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Friday. Let's grab Jacob in Cherry Hill quickly. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, not much. Hey, Huey, real quick, I'll give you a heads up. Bucky's is 561 miles south of exit 5 on the Jersey Turnpike, which is the Mount Holly exit.
Oh, that's not that far, Huey. Let's take a trip.
500 miles? Yeah.
So 561 is Bucky's. There's a billboard right at exit 5 on the Jersey Pike heading north.
Yeah, that's what they do, man. Yeah, that's what they do with Bucky's. They're way out, and they'll tell you how far you are from one. That's crazy.
Yeah, you're going north on a pike, and you see a billboard that says Bucky's 561 miles for the U-turn sign. You're like, what? But listen, real quick, Hugh, I heard what you said in regards to letting people speak about players because it's coming from that person's perspective, and you're a former player, so on, and I respect that. But I want your honest opinion on this because Jalen struck a nerve with me so bad, and that last car can before the lady is right, and he, I think he feels the same way I do. He's a little bit more diplomatic in how he's going to lay it out than I am. I'm so aggravated with this guy. The tone of his voice yesterday and what he said about the opportunity now because I was trying to do something I couldn't because I was told not to, blah, blah. Listen, dude, we've been hearing excuses all the time. Mm-hmm. You got the world by the cojones right now. It's your show, brother. It's all you. We support you. We love you. When you get on the mic, man, you talk like your dog just got cracked on 95. I mean, dude, it's a telephone for the Eagles. I mean, it should be not have a day with Jalen at NovaCare. Go to a week, but not with Jalen. I mean, it's like, woe is me. We're going to try. We'll see. I mean, Darius Slay's personality, the way he spoke, and you could tell in his voice coming off your break, he's upbeat. I need a freaking pulse here, dude. I mean, I don't want to know the playbook.
Yeah, Jacob, you know what, his energy yesterday, I agree. It's a radiothon, and it's a great cause to raise money for an important thing. And look, I think we all appreciate that he joined and he helped sell his experience because that raised a lot of money, and that's awesome. But I agree with you, Jacob. You almost got to give him a sip of coffee or espresso before he hops on the phone yesterday.
Well, I agree. And listen, we're behind you, dude. We're not against you. The whole city, Delco, everywhere, South Jersey. We're all supporting you. We're on your side, brother. We love you. You're the quarterback of the team. And oh, by the way, if you do make it to the bowl, that's the last time we played there. It was when Jaworski. We played the Raiders.
That's right. And Jacob, that you're right about this. Everyone is behind him. We all want him to be a great quarterback, and he can be. But I agree. All right, Jacob, quickly, give us a food we should try. What do you got?
I tell you, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I spent a lot of time there. Did a lot of fishing down there. It's simple. Hugh's probably had it. Fried okra. It's really good.
You know what? I just had okra for lunch.
I don't like the slime. You know what it is? I don't like the sliminess of okra anymore.
Well, if you fry it, though, some of that slime. Jacob, I like that one. I'm a big okra guy. We appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. I'll update you on the Phillies' magic number. Where is it today? We also need to see if he is willing to relent on a couple things with the Phillies. I mean, you may be rethinking on this break.
We're
all right?
Spoil it.
215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up next. And, of course, we got another great prize for you here. We have a four-pack of tickets here to the Atlantic City In-Water Boat Show at the Golden Nugget Casino Hotel, September 5th through the 8th. Caller number 4 right now, 215-988-1258. Caller number 4, 215-988-1258, wins those tickets right now on the Midday Show.
So you said on your podcast that you feel like Kellen is helping Jalen become a smarter player, especially at the line of scrimmage. In what ways are you seeing?
Just letting him take full control of offense. Like you've seen that down the field, you can just see him in the 2 minute making the calls, reading hot checks. I know he's seeing the blitz way better than he ever did. You know, because you know we got guys that can make plays and explosive. Because we had great O-line that can kind of pick up anything. But now they trust Hurts to make plays on his own with his without just using his feet, using his mind, and beating the defense himself. So that's why I see an improvement in Hurts is that the fact that Kellen got him, picking up blitzes real nice.
You know what's interesting about that cut from Darius Slay? Welcome back to the Midday
Show.
The
positivity?
Well, there was some positivity. That was during camp. But you notice what he said? And I don't know if we picked up on in the moment, but now after what Jalen said yesterday, he said now they have him picking up blitzes by himself. Like, almost alluding to the idea that they didn't have him do that before.
This
wasn't his responsibility last year. This was somebody else's. Now Jalen Hurts gets to do it, and we get to watch it play out next Friday night. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a minute here. We have this prize to give away. By the way, a second prize today. We have a four-pack of tickets, the Atlantic City Inwater Boat Show, Golden Nugget Casino and Hotel, September 5th through the 8th. About 20 minutes from now, I'll tell you how you win that prize. So a lot going on here. And Hugh, earlier this week, ESPN wrote this article. They surveyed 103 players, and they asked them about the quarterback rankings right around the NFL, and then they asked them different questions about the current state of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the voting for the most overrated quarterback in the NFL?
Who's the Don't tell me.
So here are the votes.
Well, I mean, you're going to tell me.
Jalen Hurts was voted the second most overrated quarterback in the NFL. Josh Allen was actually voted the most overrated quarterback.
I was curious to hear who thought was the most overrated.
I thought they were about to say Patrick Mahomes. Because, you know, these cats be, you know, some of these players be on some other stuff.
He didn't get a single vote. Let me tell you who the top vote getters were. Allen got the most votes. Hurts and Tua got the second most votes. Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy also got votes here. Hugh, what's your reaction to that? The most overrated quarterback, Jalen Hurts, gets the second most votes.
You know what's funny? Josh Allen, for what he's been in the NFL, I can see that one. I can see that one a little bit more than Hurts. And I also see the Hurts ones because people are talking about the talent that he has around him, and Tua, for that matter. Because Tua was on his way out of the league before they went and got Tyreek Hill. That's a fact. He was on his way out, so much so that they were trying to get Tom Brady down there. Man, listen, it's hard to find. Everybody ain't Tom Brady. Everybody ain't Patrick Mahomes. Those guys are once-in-a-lifetime, generational talents, in my opinion. I had a chance to talk to Scott Pioli a few years ago, and we were basically talking about quarterback play. And I remember him saying something to the effect like, hey, man, Tom Brady's different. You know, I'm ad-libbing because this was a while ago. But he also said to me, you can win a Super Bowl with guys. If you get the right guy, you can still win a Super Bowl. I think a lot of times, especially at that position, the bar is raised so high for dudes that do phenomenal things, then we take away the fact that, number one, it's hard to play the position, and everybody's not going to be phenomenal at that position. Hell, who was the quarterback for the Chicago Bears the year they went to the Super Bowl?
Rex Grossman.
Rex Grossman went to the Super Bowl. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Hell, Jim McMahon won a Super Bowl. When you look at all of the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, all of them aren't Hall of Fame bona fide ballers like that. They were in great situations. Everybody like Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, guys like that, Aaron Rodgers. When you look at all of those guys, we had a nice run of young quarterbacks back then. It's a tough position to play, especially now since the game has evolved so much. So, I mean, come on, guys. Y'all got to – like, that antiquated way of thinking, man, is what kind of gets me a little bit. You got to be a little bit more progressive in your thinking.
I've actually come around on the Josh Allen thing. I don't think he's underrated. I mean, I don't think he's overrated. Josh Allen's really good.
You know what it is for me with Josh Allen? Because initially I was like, man, he's going to get hurt.
He doesn't,
like the way
though.
That he plays.
He doesn't.
He doesn't, Joe. And his ability to throw, he has a strong arm. He had a little bit of issue with the touch in the past. But his ability to throw the ball and be physical at the same time, he's formidable.
He's a tremendous player. I question these players that are voting on these things. They voted Tyreek Hill the best player in the NFL a couple weeks ago. It's obviously not Tyreek Hill. It's Patrick Mahomes. And Josh Allen, I know we're talking about Jalen, but Josh Allen has averaged in the last 4 years 45 touchdowns per season and nearly 5,000 yards of offense.
Man,
that guy's overrated?
Nah.
But you know what it is?
You know what it is, too? I think a lot of guys, they get mad at some of the love that people get.
So there's a quote in here about, I think you're right about that, and especially if you have good teammates. This was the quote an NFC East player said about Jalen Hurts. How hard is it to throw jump balls to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith? It's basically taken away how good Jalen has been because he's got good players around him.
I think that's stupid.
Do we think that was Micah Parsons, by the way? It said it was from an NFC East player. It sounds like Micah.
But these players nowadays, there's a lot of hating going on with a lot of people that hate on other folks. I don't like to use that word, but it's true. Like, you listen to – I take everything that I hear other people say about people with a grain of salt. I normally it's – when I'm talking – especially – talking to some of my old teammates, when I hear them speak about certain individuals, I just kind of sit back and listen. Because you know that a lot of times it's rooted in something a little bit more than just what's on the surface. So, you know, you give them grace and you let them say what they're going to say. It's the same thing with NFL players, man, especially nowadays.
You know who I would vote as the most overrated quarterback in the NFL? Trevor Lawrence. I've been told Trevor Lawrence is Deshaun Watson. Yeah, that's a good vote. He stinks lately.
He got, but if I'm other quarterbacks, I big creepy. And on some level, I give him props because he kind of got this whole thing started for quarterbacks getting the kind of money that they got.
So he got them all overpaid?
Yes, he got them all overpaid. So y'all owe Big Creepy a favor, even though he creepy to the mug.
Watson stinks lately. And Trevor Lawrence, everyone tells me he's great. He's not great. His numbers look like Daniel Jones's numbers. Kyle, what do you make of the voting there? Allen, Hurts, the most overrated quarterbacks.
Where the Hurts one, I think, comes from is I think players might have a perception of how Hurts is viewed by fans that might be a little bit different from how he actually is viewed. Like, I don't know. We all think consensus of Jalen Hurts is he might be top 10. I think some players have the idea that he might be like top 3. In people's minds.
And he's not really
And he's
that.
Not. The Josh Allen one, I think I understand just because he's viewed as like maybe like 2A, 2B along with Burrow.
But isn't he?
I mean, maybe not. Like, he turns the ball over a ton.
He does.
And he doesn't really win deep in the postseason.
Well, that's because of Mahomes.
Sure. Yeah. But, like, I mean, Joe Burrow's beaten Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, but Joe Burrow can't stay healthy.
Yeah, but he also doesn't turn the ball over as much as Josh Allen. I don't know. Like, I'm going off of where I think their mind is on Josh Allen.
Yeah, like, these NFL players, I think this is the problem. Those guys, do football players know anything about football? I'm not sure anymore.
No, they don't. I'm not sure.
It's different because there's a lot of, everybody wants to be that guy that's talked about on SportsCenter.
A little jealousy involved?
I would say so.
That could be.
They did get one right, though.
What did they get right?
One of the guys' most overrated quarterback in football is Brock Purdy.
Oh, there it is.
It's not even close.
And what do all of those guys have in common?
At least he actually produces.
Those guys that they say are overrated were playoff contenders a year ago. Like, think about that. They were all in the playoffs. Like, Brock,
Allen,
Josh,
Jalen, Tua.
Yeah. They're all playing. Like, everybody can't be Tom Brady, man.
Or Mahomes.
Everybody can't be that.
Yeah, when one guy wins all the championships, anyone else you think is really good, almost by accident, you have to say some people will call them overrated because they don't win.
And the bar, like I said again, the bar for quarterbacks is so high, even in fans' eyes. If you're, like, Tom Brady and those guys have set the bar so high, if you're not considered a Hall of Fame quarterback, you're a bum.
Well, that's the Josh Allen thing.
Yeah.
If not for Mahomes, Josh Allen has made a Super Bowl already, I would think. And he hasn't because Mahomes keeps knocking him out. 2-1.
No, I'm just saying there's some good quarterbacks. Some quarterbacks out there have some pretty damn good careers. But, yeah, if you're not that guy, you're a bum.
I'm kind of surprised Lamar didn't get any votes. Lamar's obviously good. He's won 2 MVPs, but he's been terrible in the playoffs.
Yeah, because Lamar probably – people have a little bit more respect for Lamar. Lamar probably skews a little bit more like one of the guys. Like, when I think about quarterbacks, for the most part, and I think most players think like this, Joe, they're real standoffish. They're individuals. Lamar skews to me like he's one of the guys, more so. Like, Lamar skews to me like I thought Jalen was when I first got here, you know, working out with the guys and stuff. Now, I don't know Lamar. But on the outside looking in, he skews to me like he's more like that.
If you could, if you didn't have a quarterback and you could have Lamar or Josh Allen, who would you take?
Between the two?
I would take Allen.
I'm taking Lamar.
I think Allen's played better in the playoffs.
I'd probably take Allen too, yeah.
You know why I'm taking Lamar? It's because, and this is, I'm going to tell you right now, this is personal. Because when I read this story, I was just like, why the hell they doing that for him? His linemen, instead of him buying them gifts, they bought him a gift.
The Josh Allen?
They bought him an ATV.
You know why?
Why?
Because he doesn't take sacks, so he makes them look better.
I don't care. He make way more money than I do. You need to be buying me gifts.
Always comes back to money.
Yeah, for me, yes. I said it was personal. I didn't lie.
I like that idea.
I didn't lie.
215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Art is up on WIP. Hey, Art.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on,
What's
man?
Up, Art?
Hey, I want to send a message to the Eagles, first of all. I was born in Brazil. They have nothing to worry about. In Sao Paulo, it's not like Rio. Rio is really where the crime is and all that stuff. So send a message to them. Nothing to worry about in Sao Paulo.
All right, well,
when was the last time you've been in Brazil, Art?
I was born in Sao Paulo myself.
When was the last time you've been there?
About 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been changed, dog. It's a little different now. A little different.
Really?
Yeah, it's a little different. The way they, like, I haven't been there myself personally, but from all the stories I read and all the warnings and stuff that they're telling people to do, it is a little different now.
So you think we're overdoing this, Art? It's not as worrisome?
Yeah. Yeah, so Rio has the favelas. It's called favelas, like the hood up in the mountains, and all the ghetto people live up there. And they come down, and they actually go to the beaches and steal people. Like, they stole my towel on the beach in Rio. So, I mean, you're talking crazy stuff.
They stole your towel, dog.
Yeah, I don't think they're worried about towels. But, yeah, if towel's the worst, then they get stolen
next week.
Hold on,
dog. They stole your towel, and you was okay with that?
It's just a towel. I mean, you can have a towel.
I don't care if it was a comb. Don't steal nothing from me.
No, I'm not saying it's all right. I'm just saying on the scale of things being stolen, a towel, like, you can get through
that. Isn't that crazy? But that's what they do. But anyway, I was calling about the Phillies. I'm back on the wagon, man. Now that Alvarado and Walker are gone, I'm back on the wagon. And I actually have some advice for Schwarber, if I can give some advice to him, if he's listening.
Go ahead.
Please do not take the first pitch. Every single bat, he 99% of the time takes the first pitch, and usually he's right down the pipe. So if you can, you know, take a look at it and hit it, because he only gets three strikes.
Art, I wouldn't mind if he ambushed the first pitch every now and again. If he, you know, if they're supposed to just laying a cookie over there,
he does it a lot.
But I think I like his approach. And Art, we appreciate the phone call. I understand Art's point. If they're just throwing it over the middle and you could slam one for a home run, go for it. But he likes to take pitches. He works deep counts. It's why he walks so much, right? It's why he's always on base, because he rarely does swing at the first pitch. I get what he's saying, but Schwarber has a system that has worked for him. It's why he's always walks 100 times a year. He doesn't swing at the first pitch very often.
Yeah, man. And Schwarber, a lot of times when he does ambush that first pitch, it gets the party started early.
It does. And once in a while, if you know they're throwing a cookie over and you just crush it, that is fun. But I his approach is not going to change that much. Ken and Sinaminson wants to weigh in on the Brazil stuff. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up, Ken?
Hey, Ken.
Before I get to Jalen, which I want to do, I used to have to go to Sao Paulo for business, you know, a few times a year. And people who think they're going down there to a tropical paradise to watch an Eagles game are sadly mistaken, and they just need to be careful. I mean, I understand what Art's saying, but, you know, Art might be a little biased. He was born there. You know, I had to write executive protection plans for our C-suite people that were relocating there. At the time, Sao Paulo was statistically the murder capital of the world. It's not the murder capital of the world anymore, but for all the Eagles fans that are going down there in particular, I don't care about Packers fans, but if you're walking around with your phone in your hand, you might as well just hang a sign around your neck that says, "Rob me." And, you know.
It sounds like the players have gotten this message too, Ken.
Wait a minute. Like, Ken, I'm curious. Why is it with the phone? Because they feel you got money?
Well, yeah, there's a thing down there. I don't want to get too deep into this because I do want to get to Jalen, but mm-hmm. there's a phenomenon down in that part of the world in general called express kidnapping, where, you know, these guys just kind of roam around, and if they identify you as somebody who they think might have some access to money, they will stuff you in a car and they will drive you around to ATM machines until the ATM machine will no longer give you cash, and then they will just dump you wherever you are, and you're on your own. So it's not a tropical paradise. So,
it does not sound like one. Yeah. All right, Ken. What are you thinking on Jalen? What would you make of those comments yesterday?
I can't even express how much I hate it. And look, he's had everybody fooled around here. This is obvious. This whole persona of, you know, Jalen the character guy, Jalen the leader. It is obvious from the body of work from Jalen Hurts' own mouth that what Jalen Hurts is the excuse guy. And the next time Jalen Hurts takes accountability for anything will be the first time Jalen Hurts takes accountability for anything. And I will say this. I'm sure the Eagles, just like we heard, you know, kind of through the grapevine, that after the Nick comments earlier in the spring, that they had a kind of a conversation with, hey, we didn't like the way that came across.
That's not the first time they've had to do that. I'm sure they're going to have another conversation about this with him. Like, hey, you got to realize how this comes across. He goes out and turns the football over again 20 times this year, and he's the 21st ranked passer in the NFL. They're going to start to ask themselves whether or not keeping that guy around is worth having to have these conversations with him all the time about how this stuff is perceived. And, he is not the character guy that everybody thinks he is. All I hear from him is excuses, and I hate it.
Ken, when you say all that, what I think about is when Aaron Rodgers was a four-time MVP and a great player, the fact that he was very prickly and didn't take accountability and it was everyone else's fault, they dealt with it in Green Bay. But the minute he dropped off, which was about 3 years ago, they got him right out of there, Ken. I think what you're saying is right. If he doesn't play to a top 10 level, then this other stuff is a headache.
And, I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, which is where my food selection is going to come from, by the way. But I can tell you that Packers fans could not wait to get rid of Aaron Rodgers by the end for exactly that reason.
All right, Ken, Wisconsin, you got my interest piqued here. What's the food?
So I know people around here think they've had brats before, bratwurst. But if you've not had an actual handmade brat from Wisconsin, there's all kinds of different brats. I have a couple of frozen cheesesteak brats in my refrigerator. You boil them in beer until they're nice and until they're gray, basically. Then you throw them on the grill and grill them up to get them nice and crisp. And you put that on a hard roll with some mustard, maybe a little bit of sauerkraut. Man, that is nothing like it.
A real deal, authentic brat. Good one, Ken. You ever bratwurst, you? Wisconsin brat?
Mm-mm.
I've had bratwurst, but I'm not.
Handmade brats, yeah.
Yeah, not a Wisconsin,
tasty.
Like, yeah. Authentic one.
Yeah, that sounds pretty tasty.
That's a good one. All right, let's grab Barbara, Egg Harbor there. What's up, Barbara?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Barbara. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm thinking of your waistline, Hugh.
Thank you.
When I have my good food.
Well, thank you.
Everybody's giving you all this stuff that's going to just
I blow up. Hey, Barbara, I blow up like a tick. Yeah, I can't have that.
We can't have Hugh like a tick during football season.
No, we want him nice and svelte like he wants to be. So I want you to try prickly pear cactus jelly.
Prickly pear cactus jelly. All right. Now, is this like what kind of taste we getting here? Is this sweet? Is this a little bitter? What's the taste like?
It can be a little anxious. It's mainly out in Arizona, New Mexico. It's so good. And it is from the prickly pear cactus.
Yeah, I'm seeing the prickly pear. Yeah. I'm looking at the cactus.
Now, is this the kind of thing you put on food, or is this like a substitution for like a jelly you'd put on like a peanut butter? And like, how do you use this?
It can be both. It can be a jelly on a sandwich. You can use it as a marinade on pork or chicken.
Ooh.
It is really tasty, and it's just different.
It's my favorite
really
name of any food we've gotten so far.
They got it at Bucky's.
They have it at Bucky's.
They got it at Bucky's, but Bucky's is so far away.
No big deal.
Wait a minute. You're going through Virginia, Kyle.
Kyle, pick up Houston prickly pear cactus.
You might stop by Bucky's. I got to figure out where Bucky's.
There's Amazon. You can get it from Amazon.
Oh, it's on Amazon? All right, Barbara, I like that one.
I'm not stopping it.
I kind of want Kyle to go to Bucky's now.
I think I might order this on Amazon right now. All right, Barbara, what are your feeling on the Phillies here? You trust them again?
I'm getting there again. I'm getting there. I just still worry about our main guys. They're just not doing what they should be doing. And I'm thrilled that the bottom of the line is doing well, but I don't know. I want Schwarber and Harper and Turner to do better,
And they're going to need them in October, Barbara. There's no question. If they're going to go where they need to go in October, they need those guys. Barbara, that's a good call, and we wrote your name down here. This is a good answer. Barbara, we appreciate it. I might order this right now. So prickly pear cactus jelly on Amazon?
I'm going to see if I can find a Bucky's close to where Kyle's going. I think Kyle needs to experience Bucky's.
So you just want Kyle to pick up the stuff for you this weekend?
I'm just saying, I just want him to go to Bucky's. I just want him to go.
Yeah, but he could go to Bucky's and not pick up the prickly pear cactus jelly.
Yeah, he could do that when he's there. Could be a mean Kyle.
He was trying to send you on an adventure.
I'm not being mean. I'm being lazy.
We're being lazy,
this guy
Kyle.
Has a weekend plan. He can't be just jumping off the route to go to Bucky's for you?
No, I don't think one close. I don't think it's one close enough to him.
All right, well, I got Amazon pulled up here. I might grab this. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Friday. Let's grab Jacob in Cherry Hill quickly. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, not much. Hey, Huey, real quick, I'll give you a heads up. Bucky's is 561 miles south of exit 5 on the Jersey Turnpike, which is the Mount Holly exit.
Oh, that's not that far, Huey. Take a trip.
500 miles?
Yeah. So 561 is Bucky's. There's a billboard right at exit 5 on the Jersey Pike heading north.
Yeah, that's what they do, man. Yeah, that's what they do with Bucky's. They're way out, and they'll tell you how far you are from one. That's crazy.
Yeah, you're going north on a pike, and you see a billboard that says Bucky's 561 miles with a U-turn sign. You're like, what? But listen, real quick, Hugh, I heard what you said in regards to letting people speak about players because it's coming from that person's perspective, and you're a former player, so on, and I respect that. But I want your honest opinion on this because Jalen struck a nerve with me so bad, and that last caller, Ken, before the lady – Mm-hmm. He's right, and I think he feels the same way I do. He's a little bit more diplomatic in how he's going to lay it out than I am. I'm so aggravated with this guy. The tone of his voice yesterday, and what he said about the opportunity now, because I was trying to do something but I couldn't because I was told not to, blah, blah. Listen, dude, we've been hearing excuses all the time. Mm-hmm. You got the world by the cojones right now. It's your show, brother. It's all you. We support you. We love you. When you get on the mic, man, you talk like your dog just got cracked on 95. I mean, dude, it's a telephone for the Eagles. I mean, it should be not have a day with Jalen at NovaCare. Go to a week, but not with Jalen. I mean, it's like, woe is me. We're going to try. We'll see. I mean, Darius Slay's personality, the way he spoke, and you could tell in his voice coming off your break, he's upbeat. I need a freaking pulse here, dude. I mean, I don't want to know the playbook.
Yeah, Jacob, his energy yesterday, I agree. It's a radiothon, and it's a great cause to raise money for an important thing. And look, I think we all appreciate that he joined and he helped sell his experience because that raised a lot of money, and that's awesome. But I agree with you, Jacob. You almost got to give him a sip of coffee or espresso before he hops on the phone yesterday.
I agree. And listen, we're behind you, dude. We're not against you. The whole city, Delco, everywhere, South Jersey. We're all supporting you. We're on your side, brother. We love you. You're the quarterback of the team. And oh, by the way, if you do make it to the bowl, that's the last time we played there. It's when Jaworski. We played the Raiders.
That's right. And Jacob, that you're right about this. Everyone is behind him. We all want him to be a great quarterback, and he can be. But I agree. Jacob, quickly, give us a food we should try. What do you got?
I tell you, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I spent a lot of time there. Did a lot of fishing down there. It's simple. Hugh's probably had it. Fried okra. It's really good.
You know what? I just had okra for lunch.
I don't like the slime. You know what it is? I don't like the sliminess of okra anymore.
Well, if you fry it, though, some of that slime. Jacob, I like that one. I'm a big okra guy. We appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. I'll update you on the Phillies' magic number. Where is it today? We also need to see if he was willing to relent on a couple things with the Phillies. I mean, nope. You may be rethinking on this break.
Okay,
all right?
Spoil it.
215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up next. And, of course, we got another great prize for you here. We have a four-pack of tickets here to the Atlantic City In-Water Boat Show at the Golden Nugget Casino Hotel, September 5th through the 8th. Caller number 4 right now, 215-988-1258. Caller number 4, 215-988-1258. Wins those tickets right now on the Midday Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.